You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. Lots to talk about today, what with the economy this week being all about results and all, as I was just saying. The most recent, of course, today's news, the economy added 531,000 jobs last month. So we are going to get right to it. Gina Smilek's at the New York Times. Heather Long is at the Washington Post. Hey, you two.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Gina, let me start with you. And I wonder if you'd agree that perhaps this morning after the jobs report came out, although, to be honest, they get the numbers a day in advance, one wonders whether there was a large sigh of relief coming from, number one, the White House, and number two, also the halls of the Federal Reserve building.
You got to think there was,
yeah.
You know, a 531,000 job gain after months of just kind of muddling along in the much lower 100,000 marks.
Yeah.
I think had to be really good news for them. And, you know, I think that this was in many ways a good combo jobs report for them in the sense that wage growth looks strong, but not sort of bubbly. You know, it didn't accelerate far beyond what people were expecting, which is good. You know, sounds like maybe bad news to somebody who hasn't been paying attention to the inflation story. But given that inflation has been really high, I think they probably are relieved that wages didn't come in even stronger than they did. And at the same time, you're seeing workers coming back into the labor market, sort of filling some of these open positions that we've been hearing so much about lately. And so I think all around this had to just be a big relief for folks in policymaking positions.
Yeah, for sure. More coming up about wages from Mitchell Hartman in about six-ish or so minutes. Heather, let me point out something that you said on Twitter this morning, which I think really bears repeating here, that the speed of this jobs recovery, even though we're still down 4 million jobs, give or take, the speed at which the labor market has bounced back is kind of amazing.
It really is remarkable. I mean, frankly, I'm thinking there's cheering today in the White House seeing these numbers. You know, basically, the big picture is we've gained back 18 million jobs, and that's about 80% of what was lost. And, you know, it took years to do that after the Great Recession, and we've done it in a year and a half, basically. So overall, I think this is really good. I was particularly chuffed to see that not only was there a bounce back in restaurant hiring, but also manufacturing was strong, and even dry cleaners. Talk about something that was so hard hit. You know, 28,000 jobs added, or for all these supply chain glitches we keep talking about, you know, auto manufacturing also had a really strong bounce back of 27,000 jobs. So I think when you look across this report, there's a lot to smile about. The only thing that still alarms me, we have to always put on our slightly journalist alarm hat. You know, obviously the labor force participation is still pretty weak, but I would say the big one that two that really scare me are the daycares and schools still really down, not enough people coming back to those jobs. Hmm. And the other one is we can't point out enough that Black women were so hard hit during this pandemic and continue to really struggle to get back to where they were before.
Yeah, which goes to point out, actually, Gina, just real quickly, the unevenness of this labor market recovery, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I think the other thing that we're seeing, which is really interesting and is evolving, is that older workers are not coming back to the labor market, which we've talked quite a bit about. You know, it may be early retirements, but I think one thing that's worth watching is it's not always folks who are sort of at the traditional retirement years who seem to be lingering on the sidelines. It's basically the entire 55 plus cohort. And so I think that that's a real point of concern if those folks are left with fewer resources, you know, less ability to make it through retirement because they aren't working in these years. That's going to be an interesting story to watch in coming years. And so I think the underlying dynamics here are something to pay attention to as we, you know, celebrate what, as Heather said, is generally a pretty good news story.
Right. Okay. So from the White House, Heather, to the halls of the Marianne Eccles building, the Federal Reserve building down on Constitution Avenue. Fed wrapped up a two-day meeting today. Chair Powell had a press conference, as he usually does. And in the course of that and in their statement before the press conference, the Fed announced that it's going to start tapering its bond buying program. That is to say, the treasuries and the mortgage-backed securities that it's been buying relatively slowly, right? It buys $120 billion a month. It's going to decrease that by $15 billion a month. Here's what I want to know, though, Heather. If I'm in Ottumwa, Iowa, making my car and my mortgage payments, or New York City for that matter, or Los Angeles, or anywhere, Why does the taper matter to me? Why does this matter?
The easiest way that I explain it to my friends and relatives is it's kind of like taking the training wheels off of a child's bike. And on the one hand, it's encouraging. You think this kid, or in this case, this economy, can pedal on its own. You think it's strong enough to keep going. And that's really the big takeaway here, that the economy appears to be doing well enough that it doesn't need those training wheels anymore. But obviously, anytime you take away a support, like taking away those training wheels, there's always a little bit of nerves that that it's a little bit easier to wobble and, you know, a little bit easier to topple over. And nobody thinks that's going to happen right away. But, and the Fed is certainly going to be like that parent running with their hand behind the bike to try to, you know, keep it, ensure that, and that's why they're keeping those interest rates still at zero. But that's sort of how to think about what's really going on here and what was signaled this week.
Gina, let me ask you about what appears to be a mood shift at the Fed, right? For decades now, certainly since Paul Volcker and the late 70s, early 80s, the Fed has had inflation as its number one concern, rightly in the Volcker years when inflation was so high. But ever since, it's always been inflation, inflation, inflation. And now it seems to me that Powell and this Fed are saying, hold on a minute, we're not so worried about inflation. We're more worried about the labor market. And in fact, he's not in so many words, but he said that on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it's a really remarkable change. And I think it's interesting at a time when inflation is very high to see them sort of being very cautious about how they approach their reaction to that. What the Fed is doing now is basically setting itself up to be nimble, you know, to have the option to react to this high inflation if it lasts. But they aren't doing that yet. And they're not signaling that they're going to act yet. And they're being very patient, you know, I think compared to what a lot of commentators would maybe even urge them to do. And they're doing that very much on the basis that the job market has not healed, that we are not back to full employment. We don't know what full employment is, but we know it's not this. They are really, really giving it some time and hoping to figure out what happens kind of by feeling around in the dark as we get into 2022. And so I think that is a pretty marked shift from what we had seen from the Fed previously.
Yeah, sure is. Gina Smilek at the New York Times and Heather Long at the Washington Post. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.